The ephemeral nature of art's been exploited around the country lately with a string of one-day sculptures initiated by the Litmus Research Initiative at Massey University. These are a series of temporary public artworks curated by the British-based curator Claire Doherty. This weekend, artist Billy Apple gets in on the act with a work in Wellington's Botanic Gardens under the title Less is More, More M-O-O-R-E. The idea to draw attention to Henry Moore's sculpture, Bronze Form, a landmark well known to anyone who frequents the Botanic Gardens in Swindon. At the same time, the Adam Art Gallery is presenting Billy Apple, New York, 1969-1973, which documents the work the artist did in the small gallery he ran in New York at that time, challenging conventional ideas of what is art. And Billy Apple is with us today in the studio. Welcome. How are you, Billy?
Thank you very much. Well.
Well, getting ready for less is more.
That's right.
That really could be almost be your signature phrase, couldn't it?
Well, I often say it to younger artists, you know, less is more, you know, and, you know, don't confuse it. And one idea is one idea, you know, don't have many, you know, don't go into a show with like 100 ideas, you'll confuse yourself and everybody else. But less is more is a very minimal thing. I mean,
well, it can apply to anything. I used to say it to actors.
Absolutely.
Less, please. Less is more.
Keep it down.
That's right.
But in this case, it's applicable in the sense that my role in this work is really one of as an artist, as a minder. And by that I mean there is, without giving it away, and I don't want to do that at the moment, really I'm concerned that there are certain things that Henry Moore would like doing, and they're not being done, and I'm there to actually hopefully be the conduit for that to happen.
What sort of things do you mean?
It's just really, in fact, for a better word, maintenance.
Oh, I see, because that work, it's been in the Wellington Botanic Gardens for quite a while. Do you mean
that
work
in particular? Well, there's nothing wrong with the site. I think the site of it's quite wonderful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's beautiful, actually.
But the maintenance?
It's a great work.
The maintenance, though?
Well, it's not as what Henry Moore would want. We've done a lot of research. I've seen loads of moors around the world. I've got a friend who's got a huge one like that in his driveway in Great Neck, Long Island. He has loads of Henry Moore pieces. Built a whole gallery in his house just for little maquettes and things. But the way Moore would want it done, and we've found correspondence to support that. This is really pointing a finger at saying, well, look, you know, this is not what he'd want.
How did it arrive in Wellington? Do you know?
Well, it arrived because the work was actually part of the business in those days where if you're building a building and you provided some art, you could do further two floors in a building and things like that. In the case of Fletcher Challenge, actually, we're doing a building in Lambton Quay, and into that program, they purchased this work through the Sculpture Trust, who facilitated that part of it. And they spent, if not wrong, £330,000 for it, which was quite generous in those days from the Moore organisation. It wasn't the market price. I suppose today you'd put at least another note on the end.
Yeah.
But and there's six of them. This is number four. One of them is at the Getty Museum.
So this is a part of a series of six, and they went to various parts of the world.
Of six. Yes, that's right. The Getty Museum owns one. And it's just the condition that it's in that worries me.
So what would it
it's
take?
It's always worried me.
What would it take, do you think, to get it into a suitable, for the maintenance to be really seriously looked after?
It's very simple, but it's... The way I'm going to present this is I don't want to give it away, because the way we're going to present these facts is the work, really. I'm not physically going to get up and touch it or do anything like that myself, no.
No. Being you, you're going to do something that no one can predict, and you're not going to tell me anything about it, so I won't ask you anymore.
No, it's not that. It would just dissipate the...
The effect.
That's right.
Yeah, because I take it what you're looking for is some sort of effect.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a one-day media thing.
This whole idea of the one-day sculpture is quite lovely, actually. I think a lot of people have really enjoyed it because it's the immediacy of the moment.
Well, if you don't do it, if it interests you in any way and you say, I'll do it tomorrow, well, it won't be there.
That's right.
But no, I think it's a most interesting idea.
Yeah. In the meantime, over at the Adam Art Gallery, they're presenting from tonight your works from the New York period, 69 to 73.
That's right.
Yeah. How many have they got? What's this, photographs? It's
well, there are a lot of vintage photographs and works themselves and films videos that have been converted into DVDs for convenience, and the Film Archive's done an amazing job. And so it's a range of things.
So I was just thinking, that's how many years ago? That's 40 years ago, really, isn't it?
Mm.
At the time you were doing this sort of work in New York,
mm.
I mean, it almost seems like modern now, but it's 40 years ago.
Mm.
So what did they think at the time?
Mm. Well, Billy Apple was only 7 years of age at that point. So.
He'd just been born.
Just been his young one. But that work, the Billy Apple brand began in 1962, November. But it was the most interesting time in New York at that point. Dealer galleries weren't, wanting to show the sort of works that I and a lot of others were interested in doing, very ephemeral, in some cases invisible, where, text was actually the conduit for reading a work or an idea. It was text-based. A whole range of things, from sound works to things. I mean, there's a lot of works were done around Soho in the early days, about in the early 70s, where they were done, and unless you knew could read the signature who did it, you wouldn't know, like they were anonymous. And one work I remember seeing, there's a whole pole that was Vaseline'd, and I never could find out who did it, because I thought it was wonderful. Someone Vaseline'd a pole.
And that was it?
Publicly, and that was it. And I asked endless people, and they asked me, but none of us could figure out who did it. And but there are a lot of works like that going on. I mean, people wanted to do things. Artists wanted to do things,
Even video of
maybe
you.
Maybe some of them were artists, I don't know.
One of the installations was you sweeping the floor, wasn't it?
Well, that's right. I did a lot of those works because... out of everyday maintenance, just keeping housekeeping or gallery keeping, as they say, works like washing floors and vacuuming and sweeping and dirty spots on walls and all sorts of things like that. I mean, I just decided, well, that was the works,
I can imagine the reaction would have been fairly bemused. Was anybody angry?
No, people took it, people just accepted for what it was. It was not, remember a lot of people were doing things that... you probably would not think of as art in those days.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, your colleagues at the time, what did they think?
Well, they were doing similar things. Like I had one chap called Mac Adams who in the space, a lot of artists used my premises over those years. And and a chap called Mac Adams just wanted to do something here for a weekend, so he brought in his kitchen table, his toaster and everything else, and basically had his...
Had breakfast
there and his lunch there and breakfast the next day and his lunch there, and that was it.
I'd be tempted to join in.
But, but when you see it in context, Mac had a carpet on the floor, a carpet square on the floor and a favourite carpet square, and then put his little table on it and his couple of chairs and did it. But when it was set up, it was like a tableau. You walked into the space which you declared as an art context, and here was this tableau with Mac sitting there, making his toast or something, or buttering his toast or whatever, and pouring a cup of tea. And that was, that's what he did.
And it's almost like an invisible line around him, I imagine.
I guess so, yeah. I guess in music there were similar things going on, quite amazing time. I mean, specifically with Phil Glass and Steve Reich and those sort of things. I mean, Reich's works, which would go on for seemed endlessly with one note, and then, you'd blink your eyes and it had gone up another note. You think, God, what a change,
That's right.
But they were very exciting times, really exciting times.
So deciding what to include in this survey at the Adam... Was that
well,
you
Tina
working
Barton,
with Tina?
Tina Barton, the curator, and Laura Preston, the co-curator on the thing, they chose the works. I mean, Tina has keys to my warehouse and archives, and she spent a lot of time there looking and made a decision of what she wanted, and this is the result of it. I'm very, very pleased. It's some a lot of the works have been well photographed and documented, and we have coming up in 30th of May in Rotterdam at the Wit de Wit Museum, we have a or Art Gallery for Contemporary Art. We're having I guess the word is survey of which is called a history of the brand, and it looked from 1960 to the present. And then in the 25th of June we have a second big opening on another floor. Both shows go right through to September. It's a big summer show. I'm doing a second work which is called Revealed, Concealed, and they deal with issues of site, gallery sites, and usually context of gallery, and in this case I'm making some big alterations in the, within the gallery room itself.
The brand has actually survived very well those 40 years, don't you think?
Not too bad.
Not too bad at all. It was quite
clever,
really.
Moving well.
I mean, if you were to think about it now and to think of a better brand, could you?
Probably not. I mean, it quite a lot of thought went into, you know, there was a short list of what the brand might be when we did it, but Billy Apple stood out amongst everything else.
It's just so memorable, you see. That's why
it was young and had a nice freshness to it, you know. And you know, when you say it, you think of red or greens, and I mean, the colours and things.
Well, you're completely dressed in green, so
I'm cold today.
Looks good. Looks good on you. You're looking very well, I have to say.
Thank you very much. No, I work out in the gym 3 mornings a week and things. You've just got to do all these things. If you want to perform, you've got to, you know, do all those things. You know, otherwise you couldn't do it. You couldn't wake up and do it and stand straight and all those things.
Do you work with lots of young people now to sort of keep the energy, keep the invigoration going?
I love going to shows of in Auckland, for example. I support a lot of half a dozen galleries, maybe five galleries, one hand. Most of them in K Road, but I go to when I can. I go to most of them and I support them. And obviously, by being there, you are supporting them. And there's two or three that I'm very interested in, and keep telling them to go away and then come back, you know, because you've got to do that. You've just got to go away and you've got to test yourself and find out. And when you do that, things change, you know. You just get out of your own rigid sort of format and then, you know, you can move laterally and all that sort of thing.
Well, you leaving New Zealand behind, I imagine the 1960s was pretty easy.
Well, yeah, there wasn't much around. But no, I think I was extremely lucky when I went to the Royal College of Art, really with no pedigree to go there. I mean, it was really a...
How did you get in?
Well, I mean, no one asked any questions, and they accepted my work, and they didn't say, had you been to art school before? And I hadn't not been, you know, and didn't even have school cert. I'm like a dropout, so... But they didn't ask, you know, it was a graduate school, so...
They didn't ask.
They didn't ask.
No documentation required.
So I found myself
required.
There, but, you know, worked hard and became a star there, and, you know, like everybody. That was very challenging. That was a great thing about the Royal College. A lot of the energy was enormous. A great year, you know, the same year with Hockney and
so what year
Ron
was it
Kitto,
you went there?
1959, we all started. And you know, out of that whole thing, you know, grew the British pop phenomena, you know, and likewise in the fashion school at the Royal College. I mean, fashion people there were part of the fashion change in Britain and all that. Mm.
Is it a great time to be around
in the moment,
art world?
Incredible moment, actually. And I mean, you know, one of those things, right time, right spot and all that stuff.
So if you were to reinvent yourself now, take yourself back, I don't know, 50 years and you're a young student now, where would you go? Who would you be? Do you know?
I don't think I
would. Or could you not do it now?
I wouldn't change. I don't think I'd change anything. I mean, I wished I had today's smarts back then.
But then if you didn't have that... lack of fear, then you can't do those things.
That's right.
And that's part of the
it was like, it was
the naivety.
World,
it's good. It's quite useful.
What, I mean, there were a lot of... there were some of us at the Royal... I mean, I had constant arguments with some of my colleagues at the Royal College. You know, they didn't think what I was doing was... You know, I wasn't painting in the way they...
It wasn't real art.
Not that. And I was taking pictures, having photographs taken, and I was having other people make things, and I didn't do it, but I was thinking it was all my ideas, and that's where it started. It started literally in 1960. I thought, damn it, there's better people to do things than I can do. I don't need to learn to be a photographer or a welder or this, that or the other. You know, just always find the best people. Like a movie director, you know. Get the best cameraman, the best editor, the best whatever.
Well, it makes sense, Billy, but not many other artists have done that, have actually put together, whether it be cinematographers, photographers, welders. I mean, in the case of the work you did last year for the Hello Marcus Radio Live campaign,
that's right.
Getting together very good graphic artists as well.
Yes, but...
It's obvious, but why does no one else do it?
I don't know.
They don't want to copy you, probably.
Well, I'd encourage them.
Would you?
But there's some really really great young artists in New Zealand, actually. Incredible, really. And they're travelling a lot, and their practice is improving, and, you know, it's very heartening.
Of course, you're very clever at keeping control of the copyright. Like, if you try to get a picture of one of those Hello Marcus Radio Live posters, you can't get them, can you?
Well, I've become a registered brand now as a work, and I had a work that I had credit owing to me by a prominent law firm in Auckland, and I decided to use the credit to be, you know, for another work, which would give me the legality to becoming registered, and that's what we've done.
That's recent, is it?
That registration came through late last year. Yeah, so I do a circle with an R. Before that, I had a TM, but you have to go from one to the other in different categories. But the registration was done basically because we have a new variety of Apple that we'll attach our name to, and to do that, you need to be a registered brand. So.
That's a wonderful word, it's you said, Apple. I mean, yeah. It feeds into the whole computer thing.
Well,
New York, the Big Apple.
The United States Growers, which are in the state of Washington, the two guys we deal with, and they produce about 52% of the U.S. market, and we're looking at a premium variety which they'll sell in Asia
green or red?
Red. Well, I don't mind green.
You have to change your trademark colours, won't you?
Red apple. But it's to do that, you've just got to be a registered. The name has to be registered.
I'm really surprised because I would have thought you would have registered it years ago.
I've used copyright for a long time.
Yes.
I mean, you know, the thing in America, like, composers and poets, you know, just can't copyright it, register everything. But what you do over there, and it's accepted there, that if you write copyright on every sheet you've got, copyright your name and a date, put it in an envelope, go down to the post office, get a registered, make it a registered letter that's sealed, mail it to yourself, do never open it, and it's only open if there's a contested thing in court. It's open in the court, and that proves you did it before someone else. They accept that in the United States.
So has anyone else ever tried to rip off any of your ideas?
I think I've never thought about that, but I suppose they
didn't get a chance.
I'd rather think of the word as influenced than copied.
You know what I mean, though.
I don't think it'd be much point, frankly. You know, I think you've got to search for your own thing and find your own identity, your own brand, as they say.
So
I encourage that. I like the people that interest me in Auckland. The people are really striving for that. You can see it in their work too.
Of course, there's lots of people who are very derivative as well.
Well, I guess there is, but it's.
But they don't ever make much impact.
Well, they're around, but I mean, you hope. I mean, you know, you can go along for a long time, and all of a sudden, boom, it happens. You know, that it's like in the sporting world. I guess you do what you do for a while, and. The next season, you know, all of a sudden something's happening, you're the leader of the field type of thing.
Hmm.
And this happens in many walks of life and different things.
There's no shortage of ideas at the moment?
No. Time is the big thing.
Is it?
Time.
You look like you keep well. I know I've said that a couple of times already, because I'm so impressed. But
End I'm going to be doing something like holding my hand up. I need two more minutes. Or can you give me a minute? I got a phone call to make.
Not just yet, please.
Not ready. Give me a minute.
I don't think anyone's ever ready, though, are they?
Anyhow, it's been nice talking to you today.
Well, thank you very much, Billy. And good luck with Less Is More. I hope they get the message.
It's a very interesting show, and I really feel very... very strong about supporting what should be done, and I hope it is done.
Billy Apple and Less Is More is on at the Wellington Botanic Gardens tomorrow, and the survey, New York 69 to 73, runs at the Adam Art Gallery from tonight as well.